See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
We got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
You Cinescare.
Welcome to the Cinescare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And with us this week is friend of the show, Catherine Horan. Welcome, Catherine.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me back again.
Of course, yeah.
Yay!
Yay! And actually, we were supposed to have another guest as well. We were going to have four of us on tonight, and that would have been Mark, super fan Mark Biscotti was supposed to join us.
Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, but, or wait, was he? Yeah, he was supposed to join us, wasn't he?
He was asked.
Yeah, he was asked. So hopefully we're going to work it out so he'll be back next week. We're going to record on a different day of the week, which actually probably would have solved all of these if he just told us he doesn't work on Mondays. Yeah. So anyway, it's never easy with the superfan. Never easy.
No.
So, well, I'll start us off because this weekend, actually, Catherine and I both went to the Midsummer Scream horror and Halloween convention, and it was amazing. Like, it was bigger than ever. It's definitely the best horror convention I've been to, and I've been to Monsterpalooza and Son of Monsterpalooza and all of those, and this one just blew them all away. It was absolutely fantastic. There were so many vendors of people selling horror related t-shirts and all kinds of stuff, art and whatever you could think of. There were booths where you could make your own headstone from foam. There was all kinds of stuff. And John Carpenter was there. Mm-hmm. Nick Castle, the original Michael Myers, was there. Henry Winkler was there. I didn't see him though. Did you see Henry Winkler?
No, I was only there on Saturday, and I think he was there on Sunday.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's why I didn't see him. And we didn't come back on Sunday. But it was fantastic. And our movie on Halloween night played at the film festival that they have there. In the theme for our section of movies was Halloween themed movies. I guess they called it, I think it was called Happy Halloween or something like that. And the audience reaction, I liked it. There people, you know, they reacted to things that I didn't realize they were going to react to. Yeah, we got a whoop at the end. A guy whooped at the end, and we got some pretty good little reaction from our little movie. So it was nice. We didn't win any awards or anything like that, but I didn't think we would. It was often those audience awards comes down to who brings the most people with them, mm-hmm. you know. And that one movie, The Shadow, I think had a massive cast, like that, all those extras and everything, and it had a pretty big cast. So I think a lot of them were there. But we got a whoop. Yeah. And people reacted to different things.
Take them where you get them. Yeah.
The other movies were pretty good. There was a Halloween.
They were.
I didn't. Did you go back and watch any of the other sections or?
No.
No.
I just watched that one, but I thought all of them were pretty decent.
Yeah.
I was actually pretty impressed.
The Halloween fan film was okay, mm-hmm. but the one that won the audience award was called Shadow, and that was the one where there was like a clown at the beginning killing people, mm-hmm. or whatever, and then there, it cuts to a waitress and her story.
I like that actress. She was really funny.
Yeah, she was hilarious. But it was good. It was kind of a horror. It was very much a horror comedy, but it was really well done. And then what was the fourth one?
Sour Candy or something?
Oh, yeah, that's right. And it was about like it was like an influencer or something on mm-hmm. YouTube eating Halloween candy, and there was something wrong with some of the candy mm-hmm. that she ate. And It was pretty good too. So, but they were all entertaining. So, mm-hmm. How did you like our little movie, Catherine?
I enjoyed it. I like the David Lynch influence in there.
Yeah.
But it was fun. I thought yours was the most maybe creative, like the most out of the box, you know, not, you know, the obvious thing. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, good. Yeah, and I felt like we had a good reaction. The woman who was running the Jessica, who is running the film festival, she emailed me and said that she heard a lot of good things about our movie. So that's good. So
yeah,
but it was a lot of fun. And if you ever are in LA in well, now it's in August. It used to be literally midsummer because they would do it like in July. But this year, for some reason, it was pretty late, August 15th, the weekend of the 15th. So we had a great time, though. And it was, if you ever are out here for this, it's well worth checking out. There was a you didn't have to wait in the long line either, right? Because you're
you got snuck a media in with a press pass.
Yeah. She got a media pass. And then I had a filmmaker pass. So Michelle and I got in. We didn't have to wait in that line. But that line
was
ginormous. It was like, I feel like it was almost like a mile long or something. It looked enormous.
I ended up getting there about an hour before the general entry, and it was already like I saw that pulling up, and I was very intimidated.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how long it was.
I know. And I didn't know where are we going to park, but we've eventually got to parking. So anyway, that was a lot of fun. So I guess, Joe, the only thing left to wonder is what you have watched lately.
Well, I went to JanceCon over the weekend. JanceCon 25.
Oh, yeah.
Was that I had to work two booths. I got to work the booth where you install baseboard trim in a bathroom.
Nice.
And then I was fortunate enough to get a ticket for early admission so I could pull weeds in the heat.
So, excellent. Yeah,
that was a blast.
I'm jealous of you, Joe. I've got
my tickets for next year already. Yeah. So, but I was parched after that. But hey, can you hear this?
Is that a beer you're opening?
It's a Angry Orchard from the Thriller Pack.
Oh.
Are you aware of these?
Yeah, I think you texted it to me, I think, but yeah.
Yeah, so I actually picked a pack up. They're doing a Thriller Pack, I guess, sponsored by or brought to you by Jason Universe.
Hmm.
And they have four Halloween-themed flavors. There's Blood Orange, which the can has Jason's mask on it. Oh. And there's also Berry Bewitched, Sinful Apple, and Headless Pumpkin. They're quite refreshing. I'm going to have some right now.
I'm not a cider fan. I don't care for carbonated juicy drinks, but so I wouldn't be for me. But if you're into those,
it's quite good. Yeah, I'd get it just for the collectability. And then never drink them. They're gluten free, so there's that too.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. So I digest. What did I watch? Well, me and most of the country went to go see Weapons.
Yep.
Since last we spoke.
Me too.
It won an award for me at JanceCon. It's my favorite movie of the year so far.
Excellent.
That probably mine too. I got to make JanceCon t-shirts.
Yeah, you should. JanceCon.
But yeah, it was surprisingly spectacular of a film. Yeah. My entire family wanted to go. I didn't have to drag anybody kicking and screaming to a horror film. I love the fact that it's just got such a nice mix of humor in it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say it's something the whole family can enjoy, but my whole family did enjoy it. We talked about it for quite some time afterwards. So that was the only thing I saw in theaters.
Yeah, it's definitely an amazing film. I can't really say anything about it, but and you know, because you want to go in. I went in pretty blind. I didn't
as
even
blind
really
blind as possible.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't even think I may have watched part of a trailer, but I tried not to really know anything about this, and I was happy. Very happy that I didn't know anything about it, but it's terrific. It really is. It's great.
Catherine, did you see this yet?
I did. Yeah. I saw it this past weekend as well. And yeah, same thing. I'm glad I didn't know any more about it than I did. And really enjoyed it. It's something that, you know, I've been thinking about since I saw it. It's,
yeah.
I loved how they told the story. I love how it unfolded. Yeah. And it was a great night out.
Yeah. There's
certainly going to be a lot of people dressing up as a certain character this year for Halloween.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. There are a couple characters. I think you could, the principal at one point becomes mm-hmm. something that yeah. you could certainly dress up as.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. It told the story through different, you know, it cut to different people and their point of view. And, I really enjoyed it. So very, very, very well done. And I agree. I think it is my favorite horror movie of the year.
So then I at home watched, and I want to say this is on Peacock, maybe. I watched Borderline, which is a 2025 film with Samara Weaving and Ray Nicholson, you know, Jack's kid.
Yeah.
What's
the title?
It's called Borderline.
Borderline. Okay.
It's about Ray Nicholson's character is obsessed with Samara Weaving's character, who's like a famous actress or singer or something. And it's basically just his plan unfolding about the two of them being together forever. And it's, I don't want to say it's scary. I don't want to say it's creepy. I would actually probably classify it more as a horror comedy or a dark comedy, but it was entertaining. I think Ray Nicholson was spectacular in this role. He certainly came across as nuts. But it's worth a watch since it's on streaming. It doesn't cost anything. And two nights ago I rented, I take that back. I bought it. The Life of Chuck.
Oh, yeah.
Have either of you seen this?
I love that movie.
The Life of Chuck. Oh no, I haven't seen it. No. Yeah.
Okay. So this is based off of a Stephen King short story and it is nowhere near horror. You got to think more along the lines of like The Green Mile type movie. Tom Hiddleston, Karen Gillian, Jacob Tremblay. It's a slice of life that's really bleak and disturbing. But it's a feel good movie, you know, like makes you appreciate. There's a concept that they discussed in this that I was not familiar with, which is not really. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to add. Mia Sara is in this as well as Mark Hamill. I'm sure if I didn't mention that Mark Hamill was in it, Mark Piscati would probably kill me.
Yeah, he probably would.
Anyway,
but that's what he gets for not being here.
Well, yeah, tough shit, Mark. Yeah. They bring up this concept of what's called a cosmic calendar. So the 15 million years that the world's been in existence or the universe has been in existence, it basically says, all right, if that started on January 1st of a calendar year, we didn't even have like the sun or something until like September. And so it kind of takes all of existence and crams it into a 12-month long calendar. Huh. And it just makes you feel so insignificant. Like a speck in life. But the whole point behind that is it's also supposed to make you appreciate what you have because life is so fleeting.
Yeah.
And, but it has a typical Stephen King feel good twist in it. But like I said, if you're expecting horror or gore, there's none of that found in this at all whatsoever. The short story was actually taken from the book that he wrote called It Bleeds or If It Bleeds. Mm-hmm. Got a cat face on the front.
Yeah.
It was, I'm kind of glad I watched it. I'm actually probably going to watch this one a couple of times. So,
yeah.
And then last but not least, I started watching just last night, the first two episodes of Alien Earth.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I got him. I'm not really a big, huge Aliens fan. This wasn't something I couldn't wait for, you know, but I figured I'd give it a shot. And if the first couple episodes were good, I'd stick with it. And they are. Mm-hmm. I can't believe the horror and the gore and the money that they threw at this thing. It's you are basically watching a regular movie in the Alien franchise, and this TV series is better than some of the actual films.
Oh, wow.
So if you have an appreciation at all for the Alien franchise, you should watch this. I highly recommend it. It's quite good. And like I said, I've only seen two episodes.
Alien
Timothy Earth. Oliphant's in it. Yeah, it's on FX.
Yeah, I've seen previews for it, and I do want to check it out for sure.
Yeah, I cannot get over the blood and the gore in this. So,
all right.
So that's it.
Okay. Catherine, what have you watched recently?
Well, to add, just because I've been watching the Hellraiser movies. So I've made it now to, let's say I've watched one, two, I think through six. So I think I've got two or three more to go. It's just they're such a hodgepodge. I've seen the first Hellraiser several times. I've seen the second one a couple times, but three, four, five, and six are just bizarre. Have you seen any of those?
I've only seen the first one. I have not seen it. I wasn't a huge fan of the first one. I need to revisit, and we should probably do a Hellraiser like couple episodes
franchise?
Franchise.
Gladly. I've seen them all, Catherine.
Joe, I know, watched all of them. I think our first year or something. Oh, okay. It was early on. You watched all of them during Shocktober.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
I like them. They're, you are 100% right. Some of them are hit and miss. Really, the only reason I'm watching them is for the Cenobites. I have this odd fascination with the guy that has this, he's like the CD player in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he could throw those discs out.
I thought three was fun. Four was an interesting idea. And then five and six are scripts that you can tell were probably intended for something else, and they decided to just make it into a Hellraiser movie. They're kind of gritty crime dramas and pinheads in them for 2 seconds. That's been fun. I mean, they're entertaining enough. And then the big thing I did was last night we saw Time Cop in the theater, by the Riftrax folks. not horror at all. I'd never seen Time Cop before. But that was quite a fun evening. We laughed a lot. The movie's kind of ridiculous. But yeah, that was fun. That was fun.
And where
always love the Riftrax guys.
Where did they do that?
At the AMC, is that they do it every year, and it's part of the Fathom events. So it's a special kind of one night only or two night only thing. And
I mean, they
recorded it live
maybe
a month ago at a theater in Minnesota.
Oh, I see.
And then they air the replays. They did it twice. And so we went. So it's live, but it's pre-recorded.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. And the crowd, did you have a good crowd and everything?
Were they all
loving it? Yeah.
Yeah. They laughed a lot. So, yeah.
Was it packed?
It wasn't packed. I've been to ones where they've had, you know, almost a sellout. This one was maybe half full. Not too bad.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I guess I watched Weapons. Really, that's the only movie I've seen. In the last couple of weeks, but we did start watching the new season of Dexter. I've been behind on that. So we started watching that. We watched the first episode last night, actually. And it's Dexter. It's Dexter. I think that from what I hear, this season is actually supposed to be pretty good, but I think the first episode they had to they had to go to great lengths to explain how Dexter survived the previous season in which it looked like he was dead and should have been dead anyway. So they go to great lengths to, you know, try to figure out how to do that. So if you're into Dexter, I think you'll love it. If you're not, then it won't be something you'll want to watch. I think we're into it, so I'll definitely see it through. And I've heard it gets better as it goes. But the first episode was, I think, just trying to, you know, do a lot of legwork to set up the rest of the season. So, all right. Well, Joe, that sound lets you know that the dear Joe Jans has a pick. What's the pick this time?
It's 80s sci-fi horror. And God, one of these movies really deserves a good riff tracks. So we'll start with that one, which was 1985's Phenomena.
Phenomena.
So this is directed by Dario Argento and starring Jennifer Connelly and Donald Pleasance. That alone should have made this movie better, but it didn't.
Yeah.
So luckily, when I started watching this on Tubi, I don't know. I hope this wasn't the case for you guys. It was all like overdubbed. It was like, so I had to like watch it with subtitles. But fortunately I was able to, I found it on Pluto TV and that's how I ended up watching it in English.
We had same thing. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I watched it on, I didn't have that problem. I think I watched it on Amazon maybe.
Oh, okay. Well, the Tubi version was like in Italian.
Yeah. Tubi was awful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so, it was. Oh, that's. Oh, funny. Yeah.
So this soon to be classic is about a young girl who has this amazing ability to communicate with insects. Oh, and I'm sure you guys can tell.
It's on Shudder. I watched it on Shudder.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
That tremendous power, being able to talk to insects, may just possibly come in handy.
Yeah. Donald Pleasance. Yeah.
Yes. So she gets transferred to the Swiss boarding school with no parental supervision along the trip, mind you,
yeah.
By the way.
Oh, yeah.
She actually just sort of takes it upon herself to help solve this string of murders with her, you know, spidey sense, for lack of a better term. So, God, and there's a monkey in this.
Yeah.
Like a helper monkey. Oh, Donald Pleasance is like, what is it, entomologist? Is that what an insect?
I guess so. But he also works with monkeys. I don't know.
It's
a chimp. Yeah.
He can't walk. So he's stricken. He has two afflictions. One is he cannot walk. So he's stuck in a wheelchair. And the other, it makes him talk in a horrible Scottish accent, which he can't pull off. So the monkey just sort of helps him out. As long as the monkey can follow the laser pointer that he uses to guide the monkey around the room.
Yeah.
So. But anyway, Catherine, you're the guest. I'm going to let you go first. Tell me what you thought of this film.
Oh, these were fun. I mean, it was stupid, but I enjoyed it. That was one of the first notes I wrote on here. Oh, there's a random chimp. Just out of nowhere. Sure, why not? I love the music in this. I always loved Dario Argento with his goblin music. And then just the random Iron Maiden and Motorhead thrown in as well.
Flash of the Blade, Iron Maiden.
Yeah,
I was just like, all right, cool.
Yeah,
well, let's go. And then another just note: at one point, they're I guess in the classroom, and one of the kids gets called on to answer a question. They've got this giant Bee Gees shirt.
Yeah, yeah,
just stuff like that.
The kids will dig that,
right? Exactly. I thought Jennifer Connelly did a good job. I like Donald Pleasance a lot in this too. I thought he was very sweet. Kind of coming off thinking of him as, Dr. Loomis in the Halloween movies. I was like, oh, wow.
It was a different kind of role for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like before he gave up caffeine.
Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah. And it's just other thing. Like, why is sleepwalking such a big deal? They're making it sound like this girl is crazy because she walks in her sleep. And like, wait, what? No.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's not an unusual affliction, you know?
No.
But yeah, she's evil. She must be possessed because she walks in her sleep.
Yeah.
And let's give her an EEG without parental consent. Right. Too.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
Exactly. Oh man. But yeah, I thought it was a fun concept. I like the idea of being able to talk to insects, have them, come and, help you out, help you find things when you need them, or swarm and get the bully kids as you need to. But yeah, it was an interesting idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this one too. I thought this was kind of fun. It's, you know, I'm not going to say it's a great movie and I don't think I'll probably ever watch it again, but it was, I had fun with it at least. And, there's some goofy stuff in it for sure. Like that there was, I don't know, there was a scene where she's being chased through a cave or something like that. And then there just happened to be a window in the cave. It was very odd.
Right.
And then she eats baby food. Like she's hungry.
Yeah.
And, right? And her roommate says, and it's not like a good baby food. It's not like apple blueberry or something like that. It's like the mixed vegetables one, or I think it was green beans or something.
Well, she had
like
three to choose from and she took the vegetable medley.
Yeah, the vegetable medley. And, but she, like she has nothing to eat. And the roommate's like, well, my mom left some baby food here. You want it? And she was like, okay. And she did. She ate it. I mean, yeah. And Jennifer Connelly
never came back into the storyline at all.
No, never at all.
I was watching that and I'm like, this is going to be important. Yeah. I better write a note.
No. It was just a quirky little Argento thing, I think. But yeah, Jennifer Connelly was good in this. I always forget that she was, you know, I don't know. She just seems kind of seemed like her era was more like in the 2000s or whatever, but yeah, she was acting all the way back in the 80s. I don't know how old she was in this, probably I would imagine young teen, 14, maybe something like that. I loved the monkey revenge car scene. That was fantastic. That was probably my favorite scene of any of the movies, was when Donald Pleasant's character gets killed and then the monkey goes out for revenge. That was fantastic. I loved it.
With a scalpel or a straight razor.
Yeah.
A straight razor.
Yeah.
She was 15.
15. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was a scene where she was trying to, she's trying to move something to get out of the way of the door. And she goes up over the door through a window, trying to move the thing out of the way of the door. I'm like, well, if you're already in that window, you could probably just keep going.
Yeah, I jump got the over same that. Note.
Yeah. I'm like, why would you not just keep going through the window? And then eventually she did. There was a scene where water just, or I didn't realize water could be quite as flammable as it was, because it didn't seem like there could be that much oil where it was, but the flames,
the canister, it was like a half a quart of gasoline, in that tiny little thing, and engulfed a lake,
right? An entire lake lit on fire. I'm like, I don't think water is that flammable, and you'd have to have quite a bit of you know, gasoline or whatever in there. But yeah, this was, I just thought this was a fun one. I actually enjoyed myself. I like these old 80s movies like that. I like the look of them, the old film look and the graininess. And Argento certainly has some quirky stuff in his movies, but he knows how to set up a shot. I thought this thing looked pretty good. I think the idea of following an insect someplace would be hard to do. Like, have you ever tried following a fly? Like they almost seem to disappear in front of you. So I can understand the lightning or the lightning bug or firefly. I can understand that because it's glowing in front of you, but following a fly across, you know, miles or whatever, that would be pretty difficult. But overall, I thought this was a pretty good one and I enjoyed it. Yeah.
There's a scene I want to discuss. I think it was after the EEG or EKG, whatever she had. She's laying in her bed back in the dorm, and they've given her an IV to help her sleep. And there's a nurse that's watching her at her bedside. Well, the IV has zero effect on her. She was faking sleeping the entire time.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, this nurse who's got one job, which is to stay awake and watch her, fails miserably, and she falls asleep so Jennifer Connelly can so she can take out the IV and help herself right out the window to escape. I don't want to give too much away, but there's a guy chained to a wall in a basement in a cave And we see him at the very beginning of the movie. He's always locked in shackles. But for some reason, when Jennifer Connelly's finally involved, then he has the strength to break his own thumb
and
get out of the shackles.
Yeah.
He suffered for decades chained to a wall. But now when Jennifer Connelly's around, I'm going to snap this thumb right off.
Yeah.
So I can go save the day. Just seemed weird.
It might have should have done that a while ago.
Yeah, I did like there was a scene where she summons like a swarm of millions of flies over the boy to push him into the lake, which I thought was cool. That would, you know, it's kind of like a something you would have seen in Candyman.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, like that's he just had bees, but, you know, Jennifer Connelly's got all insects, which
she does. She has she can. It's pretty much any insect from what I can tell.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I love the scene where the you hear nothing out of the chimpanzee forever.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there's a shot of him walking through a park and walks up to a garbage can, looks inside, and there happens to be a straight razor there. He picks it up and walks out of frame. And I have this note. It's like, where's that dumb monkey going with that straight razor? And then you don't see him for like a good 25 minutes left in this film. Finally, last scene, here comes the monkey.
Yeah.
Thank God he's got that blade with him.
Right. Hey, he was on a mission then too.
Yeah.
I loved it. He went crazy. I wish they'd gone further with that scene. You know, it would have been awesome.
I don't understand the relationship between Jennifer Connelly and like the headmistress at the school. Because, like, the mistress hates her right off the bat. Like, she doesn't even know her.
Yeah.
And then, what is it, like, her assistant or somebody, the one that takes her to her home?
Mm-hmm.
I love this scene. Jennifer Connelly is being led to this woman's home. And Jennifer Connelly says, your home is huge. It's immense. Do you live here alone? And the woman's response is, no. And then that's it. Like,
yeah,
you have nothing else. Maybe you could lend to the just
who
just,
lives
no.
here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, it was certainly an odd film. I find it funny. I didn't hate it, but I do. I just find it humorous, and it's mainly because of probably when it was made.
Yeah. No, it's a fun, bad horror or 80s horror movie, and then again the if you get a chance to look up the poster, everyone out there, look up the poster, because it looks like it's trying to be a total ripoff of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
No, that's Dreamscape.
Oh, sorry, I'm already jumping.
We're not there yet.
I'm looking at Dreamscape. Never
Are you
mind.
Ready to roll the
He's
end credits?
Yeah,
oh, are God. We wrapping this up now?
What the heck? I already moved to Dreamscape and then.
Right.
No, this one actually does have a cool poster that
does,
I remember seeing.
It does have a cool. It's got like the electricity hands or whatever over it. Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, that's not the one I'm seeing.
Oh, what are you seeing?
Of course, mine's called Creepers. Oh, Phenomenon.
Right.
Yeah. But it's. It's just like an illustration of Jennifer Connelly with her hand outstretched, and it's just filled with millions of flies.
Oh, let me look that up.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, I didn't see that either.
That's the image that I remember seeing in the video stores when I was a kid.
Oh, is it just one hand like this?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
For our listeners at home, yes.
Yeah. There's a few like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I've that's the one I always remembered. And I'm actually kind of glad that we watched it, so I can cross that one off my mental list of horror movies I decided I should watch someday as a kid.
Yeah.
So,
right.
All right. Well, because I don't want to hold Matt back anymore. We're going to get to Indiana Jones and the Dreamscaper.
Please give me some Dreamscape.
Yeah. So 1984's Dreamscape. Starring none other than Dennis Quaid, Max von Sydow, Christopher Plummer, Eddie Albert as the president, who you may know as the guy from Green Acres, David Patrick Kelly, who was that, Warriors? See, these Warriors come out and play.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, and of course, George Wendt. Mm-hmm. Norm.
Norm.
Know? Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It's got a good cast.
It's got an all-star cast. So this is about a man who can enter and manipulate people's dreams. He's recruited by a government agency to help cure the president of the United States, because he's important, of his nightmares about nuclear war, but he stumbles upon an assassination plot. Maybe Dennis Quaid can fix all this.
So in his tight briefs.
Yes. I do want to point out that this movie came out in August of 1984. Mm-hmm. In November of the same year, Nightmare on Elm Street.
I made that note as well. Yeah.
This came first.
There's a lot of interesting connections to this movie with other ones that year too.
Yeah. So, all right, Matt, I won't hold you back anymore. I know you're dying to talk about this one.
I can't wait, Joe. Cannot wait.
Let loose.
I just remember there's a sick burn in this one. Who's your decorator? Darth Vader. Did you hear that one? That was a sick burn. And yes, Dennis Quaid is wearing some mighty tight black briefs, and not boxer briefs, black briefs. And, if you got it, you got it. Eh? He also goes jogging in a V-neck sweater. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but he was jogging and sweating it up. And I'm like, what is he wearing? And they get a kind of a tight shot, shoulder up. And I'm like, that's not a sweatshirt. That's a full on sweater, like a V-neck sweater.
Well, he likes his sweat in style.
I guess so.
Called sweaters, man.
Well, that's true. He took it very literally.
Yeah.
I wrote 42 minutes in, and I wish this movie would get to the point. There was a lot of setup of the world, a lot of world building in this that was okay. I get the point. I kind of got the point when you entered the little kid's dream, right? You know, and then it seemed like they had to have a million other things, but I kind of got the point. You know, you didn't need to. It kept kind of going and going. But it's interesting because it looks like it was pretty well made, and it has a pretty good look to it. It looks like they put some money into it. I don't know what this director had done before. He wound up doing The Good Son with Macaulay Culkin, which Mark loved that. And The Stepfather, which we watched, I think a year ago or so. Sleeping with the Enemy.
That was our Father, Son, Holy Spirit episode.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Actually, we watched both of those, right?
Yeah, in the same episode.
In the same episode. Yeah. Too bad this movie didn't have something about the spirit or whatever.
Oh, yeah. We could have done all three. Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been, this director. Let's see. Christopher Plummer. Yeah, this is Max von Sydow, Christopher Plummer. I'm like, what the hell? And Max von Sydow always looked that old. I'm convinced that no matter.
He's got some really bad bangs in this one.
I actually made a note that he actually looks young in this one.
Well, younger.
He's got color in his hair.
Younger. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But his demeanor, and then Kate Capshaw, she's cute in it, I think this is around the time, this had to have been, because I think Temple of Doom came out in 1984 too, if I'm not mistaken.
It did. Yep.
And so, I mean, God, 1984 is a pretty damn good year for movies.
The year for Capshaw, that's for sure.
Yeah. And she marries Spielberg and everything. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, there was a scene where I don't know if there was an Asian guy in the dream, and I can't remember the setup on it, but all I know is they show an Asian guy, and then they do like a gong and little Asian music cut under that part of the scene. I'm like, yeah, and it, but there, and then there was a gong kong. I'm like, oh, in the 1980s. Let's see. And it seemed like that snake monster could have been killed by pretty much almost anyone. He really didn't put up much of a fight. I feel like he went down easy.
It's hard to move in that costume.
Yeah, I guess. guess so. But he's the monster that was in the little kid's dream. Right. But then, then the bad guy, who's the assassin or whatever, he is him in a different dream. Right.
Right. Well, he can be whatever he wants in the dream.
I guess that's true. Yeah. And then there's a scene that where Dennis Quaid is being chased, and all of a sudden a pep rally comes out, you know, and I'm like, oh, where's a pep rally when you need one? You're being chased by the government. And it's pretty nice. A pep rally just springs out of the building next to you. And I kind of felt like spending all this money to figure out a way to enter dreams and having somebody enter the dream to kill the president might be the least efficient way to kill somebody. Like, if you're going to assassinate somebody, like, I feel like spending all this time figuring out whether you can enter their dreams and kill them might not be the most efficient way to do it. I suppose it would be hard to prove, which may be the point, but I don't know.
Well, Eddie Albert and Christopher Plummer were literally standing face to face at the end of the movie. He could have just plunged a dagger into him.
Exactly. Yeah. Why not? But this one, I still had fun with it. I don't think it was a very good movie. And I do think it definitely belabored the point after a while. And at the end, I was sort of like, are the stakes really that high? But I had fun watching it. It's one of those, I'm a sucker for bad 80s movies, mm-hmm. There's certainly worse that you could see than this, I guess, if you're wanting to hit that. I don't know how much horror is really here. It feels a little more sci-fi-ish, but I guess the monster and all of that. And the kid's dream is certainly a horror-based haunted house kind of thing. So, I thought this was fun.
Catherine, you're up.
Yeah. So I agree. It's fun. It's cheesy. It's ridiculous. When it first started out, I was like, oh, it's giving me Dead Zone vibes. Just with, the guy that's kind of psychic. And then I was like, when they kidnap Dennis Quaid and take him to this facility, it's like, oh, this is giving me now kind of maybe Firestarter vibes, with in the shop, secret facility going out there trying to, these psychic, telekinetic, type things. And then it's interesting when you get George Wendt entering the picture. He's supposed to be kind of almost a Stephen King type character. So I was like, okay, I see what they're doing here. And that was kind of fun. One of my first notes was, of course, Dennis Quaid plays the saxophone. As soon as he gets in that room, he grabs the saxophone and starts playing. I'm like, well, okay, of course, why not?
Yeah.
For the record, he didn't play.
It's the 80s. I'm not surprised.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Watch his fingering. Like, he's not even blowing at the right time. It was off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the kind of connections with Nightmare on Elm Street. They came out the same year. They have this line in the movie here about, dream lives are as real as waking lives. Be brave and conquer them. Which I was like, aha, that's the theme of Nightmare on Elm Street. I love the connection you mentioned with Kate Capshaw and Temple of Doom. And then the poster, of course, looking like an Indiana Jones poster, just kind of an interesting intersection of all of these things.
Yeah.
I just wish he had a fedora on and held a saxophone.
I was kind of waiting. Exactly.
Because my note was, he's just Indiana Jones with a saxophone.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, let me just step back for a moment, because I do want to, I don't want to gloss over the fact that 1984 was a pretty freaking amazing year for movies. Ghostbusters, Beverly Hills Cop, Terminator, A Nightmare on Elm Street, Gremlins, The Karate Kid, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, This is Spinal Tap, The First Police Academy, Revenge of the Nerds, Footloose, 16 Candles, The Natural, Amadeus, Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, Splash, Bachelor Party, Red Dawn, Romancing the Stone, Silent Night, Deadly Night, Friday the 13th, the final chapter. I could go on. There's way more. Like Starman came out. I mean, there's a
Purple. I would have gone broke that
purple,
year.
I know. Purple Rain came out this year. David Lynch's Dune. I mean, Top Secret. It's an insane, an insane year for movies. I don't know like how we managed to even get anything done in the year 1984.
Yeah.
Right. And I just had one last little note. This is more just personally. The guy in the Snake Man suit is Larry Cedar. And he plays the monster on the wing of the plane in the Twilight Zone movie.
Ah,
oh, cool.
And he's an actor that I know. I've worked with him a few times out here. Nicest guy in the world. So that was kind of fun to, oh, he's in this movie.
What? Who was it again?
Larry Cedar is his name.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. He's also in Deadwood.
Speaking of odd cameos, I like pointing this out because I've always remembered this guy. I don't even know his name, and I'm not even going to bother looking it up on IMDb. But so, of course, this movie starts off with Dennis Quaid ruining his gift, his blessed, you know, telekinesis or whatever, psychic abilities, and right. He blows it on the racetrack. And gets in deep with the wrong people, and they start chasing him down. One of the guys that catches him, that beats him up in the bathroom, was also one of the group of guys that always hung around together in Shawshank Redemption. And you might not remember him until I say his famous line, "Red, I do believe you're talking out of your ass." That was his only line in the entire movie, and I'll remember him to the day I die. That's but he's funny. In this. Yeah, I've got Alex is a regular Indiana Jones, but he plays the saxophone. and my next line is, no, he's not playing the saxophone at all. The dream worlds are always really windy. I don't know why that is. But like even the very beginning, when you're seeing this like post-apocalyptic world, it's just like they're in a wind tunnel with a really bad green screen behind him. So Tommy, the bad guy who's trying to kill the president, if you noticed, he rips a guy's heart out of his chest, but he's got fingernails that are about 4 inches long. And I just thought it was so odd that we've got, which is the whole reason I looked up to see when Nightmare on Elm Street came out. Cause if you go back and look at that scene, his fingernails are a good 4 or 5 inches out of each finger.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, you guys totally skipped over the subplot with Mr. Weber. When they were trying to see if this whole process would work, if they could get into somebody's dream, they bring in this Mr. Weber guy who can't perform with his wife anymore.
Oh, that's right.
And they're trying to figure out why. And so he goes into this guy, Mr. Weber's dream, and he walks into this his bedroom, and there's his wife screwing like everybody he knows.
That was funny.
That's hilarious.
That's the scene where the Asian guy was in.
Yes.
There.
There was a guy.
Yeah,
but like the mailman was there. The you know, everybody in town is screwing this guy.
Hang out from
wife.
Under the bed. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That part was hilarious. I also thought it was weird when they're given Dennis Quaid the tour of the facility. The very first time, they've got a security guard stationed out in front of the lab. Nobody can get by this point. He was sitting there on a chair, and they make a point to say, oh, pretty tight security around here. Well, nobody can get in there. After he sneaks back into the lab, because the security guard's no longer on his shift, he's cut from the movie. They show that entryway to the lab like another dozen times. Mm-hmm. Never a security guard. He probably got fired because Dennis Quaid got in. Mm-hmm. So
he was on break.
Good at his job.
Yeah.
Mr. Weber made that movie for me. So sorry. Okay. We're on to the last one. We're dead and buried in 1981. Yeah. God, Jack Albertson, which you guys may know as Grandpa Joe from Willy Wonka, and Melody Anderson, who was Dale Arden from Flash Gordon.
Yep, that's right.
And Robert England even makes a handful of appearances in this film.
Yeah.
So Sheriff Dan Gillis investigates an eerie death in a sleepy coastal town. That is, that nowhere near describes what this film is.
It does not. Yeah.
No.
Well, I actually on Letterboxd, there's a bit more. It says it will take your breath away. All of it. After a series of gory murders committed by mobs of townspeople against visiting tourists, the corpses appear to be coming back to life and living normally as locals in the small town. That's it.
Yeah, that and they catch it all on film.
Right.
Is that part of it?
Yeah.
Okay, so this whole town hates outsiders. And all they're doing is killing any strangers that come through town. But whenever they do it, they make sure they get it on film.
Yes. I don't know.
All right. Yeah. Well, I hope you can explain it because you're up.
All right. Well, let me explain it, Joe. I don't know. I will say this. I saw this movie on HBO when I was pretty young, and it freaked me out. Like, the brutality of it really freaked me out. And it is pretty brutal. Like the first scene,
yeah,
you know, that is pretty disturbing, you know. And if it was a better movie, I think it would be a very disturbing film.
But you get brought in with the full frontal nudity.
Right. It's true. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They hook you.
Yeah, they do.
And then they light you on fire.
But yeah, that first scene, you know, the guy's out shooting, I don't know, landscapes, I guess. He has a very nice camera, by the way, one that I would love to have as I delve more into film photography. It is a Mamiya 645, and it was at the time was a very expensive professional camera, and it even now has made a comeback. It's what they call medium format, Joe. So it actually is.
It blew away the 635.
Yeah,
that's like 100%, twice as good. 100%.
Yeah, and you can still get them now. A good one for $500 to $700. So
wow,
yeah. But they are, you know, among people who are getting back into film. They are not high. They made a million of them, so it's not like. It's not like they're highly sought after and they can't find them, but they are, you know, people look for those, one in good condition. I'm not sure. Would a needle to the eye kill you? I don't think it would. I think it would hurt a lot.
The same thing. Yeah. I don't think it would.
Yeah. It would hurt a lot, and it's a good gory scene, you know, for a movie, but And I'm sure, obviously, it's a long needle, so it would go, you know, go through the eye
into and the
probably
brain.
Pierce the brain. But you could pierce the brain without killing somebody, too. You have to really wreck the brain to kill them.
You might lose some speech patterns and walk a little funny, but I think you'd be okay.
Yeah. So I'm not sold on that. But I think the actress there was Melody Locke, maybe. I'm not sure if that was her or not, but it was
Lisa Blunt.
Lisa Blunt. Yeah. Yeah. At any rate, but she was good and creepy, steely eyed or whatever. But this movie, definitely when I was a kid, I saw this with my brother and it shook me up. Like I was like really disturbed by it. And it was really that first scene. And after that, I stuck with it, but by the end, just the idea of all these townsfolk killing innocent people, it really disturbed me for some reason when I was little or when I was younger. And then I did have a feeling that, you know, there's a family that comes into town. I had a feeling they weren't actually, I had a feeling they were going to get away. But the funny thing was that the family drives through fog and they wind up crashing. And they run up to just a house that they find. And it just happens to be a house that all these people are hiding in different rooms. Like they knew that the people were going to go to that house. There are things like that that seem, including the needle to the eye, that seem like they were set up for a horror movie rather than being logical, you know. And then the reveal at the end, I was thinking when we started watching this, I thought this movie might fit into like, what do they call it? Folk horror, but it's really not. It's almost more of a mad scientist kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really a mad scientist movie. But it has folk horror elements, you know, like you kind of think that it's an outsider coming into town and there's this group that seems like a cult, but then it turns out there's something else. And I'm not sure what that other thing, what that thing is. Are they zombies? I mean, they're kind of zombies, right?
Are we spoiling it?
Well,
I mean, it's from 1981.
So, yeah. I mean, I guess we might as well.
Yeah. They're all dead. They're all zombies. They're right. All byproducts of, what's his name? The coroner, Dobbs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're all Dobbs creations, including the sheriff.
Right.
And he just doesn't know it until the very end. And it's like an episode of Night Gallery.
But they start rotting and they have to come back to him to get touched up.
Yeah.
But one of them is the guy's wife. And so what, you know, the cop, wouldn't he recognize that she's starting to smell, you know, I'm like what level of rotting is acceptable here?
No, cause the cop's dead too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. I forgot about that.
But you don't know that until the very end.
Spoiler.
Yeah. That's why I asked.
Well, you know, this is one I really don't think anybody needs to.
It's 44 years old. Yeah
no. And if you do watch it, it's not a reveal that's going to make you go, oh, you're by then you're going to be like just wanting to get through the movie, I think.
Yeah.
But I think it's good for what it is. It is one of those that I've always felt like, and this is probably, now this is my third time watching it because I watched it at Shocktober a few years ago. And I do feel like this is one that was almost, it could have been a really good movie and it was just not quite there. I think there were a few things they did just to amp up the horror that maybe didn't make much sense. But I thought that there was some stuff here that was, you know, pretty brutal. And the things that these people were doing were certainly brutal, but there's just something almost just a little off from being a really good movie to me. So,
Catherine, do you agree?
I mean, it is something that once you start thinking about it, it really does kind of start to fall apart. I had never seen this movie, and so I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
So going into it like that, it was kind of compelling. What is going on? When it first started, I we had a moment of, are we watching the right movie? Because it's this very kind of lively music at the beginning. You got this guy taking these pictures and you're like, what is going on? Woman comes out.
Beach. And, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And then suddenly she's nude. It's like, wait a minute. What? And then all of a sudden the townsfolk jump out and you're like, oh, okay, that's where we're going. All right, what's going on here? Right? Exactly. It's just out of nowhere. We're surrounded.
I got attacked by semen all the time.
you mentioned the needle in the eye. I thought that was
make sure to tip your waitress.
Yeah.
Right. I thought that was, again, just very unexpected. You got this poor man burned almost beyond recognition, and this nurse comes in, and just the whole time, I'm like, what is this town? What is going on? Who are these people? As it unravels, okay. So it's kind of fun. You know, I didn't dislike it. I'm glad I've seen it. I thought it was the makeup effects at Stan Winston. I thought he did an amazing job.
Yeah, pretty good.
That one scene where you watch the coroner strip the skin off the woman, off the skeleton, and then build her back up. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah, that was pretty well done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then this was written by the guys that wrote the Alien movies.
Hmm.
So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
I enjoyed it. It was fun. It kept me guessing. I didn't know what was going to happen until it failed itself at the end there.
I thought Dobbs has good taste in music. He had Duke Ellington's A-Train. He had Doris Day doing Sentimental Journey. And I was digging the music. Lisa Blount has been in tons of things. She was in Officer and a Gentleman. Closer to my heart, she was in a very early episode of Moonlighting. She played, I believe it was Bruce Willis's character's wife or something named Toby. Anyway, she's gorgeous and not afraid to show him either. So this family that's driving through town and they get lost, right before they crash, So they're driving along, and the way the lines go is the wife is about to ask the husband if he'd like some gum. And then instantly he hits like a patch of ice or something and the car steers. But like, I must have looked down.
Something jumps out at them. Something jumps in front of them.
Something, yeah. Something happens. So he's jarring the car. I must have looked down at the moment, like I was writing a note or something, because all I heard was, would you like some gum? Jesus Christ. yeah, and that's my note. Oh, and their son whimpers like a puppy the whole time.
Yeah.
I've never understood this. So they end up, they get out of the car and they're trying to find help and they go up to a house and they knock on the door and nobody answers. So then the next thing is, well, they probably didn't hear me even though I've been banging on it. So I'm just going to see if it's unlocked. Well, look at that. It's unlocked. So I'm going to walk inside. And I'm not just going to stand in the foyer or anything. I'm going to start walking through the house, knocking things over, looking for a phone, all completely on my own, while yelling the whole time. I don't understand why people do that. Go to the next house. Somebody will answer. I got to say, there's a scene too where the sheriff couldn't find the bullets for his gun. And so he goes and asks his wife.
Right.
And she's sitting there at the table and she picks them up with a hand and she just sort of casually tosses it in the air. But then when they cut to him catching it, it's like it was thrown by a major league pitcher.
That's funny.
I really did kind of like the reveal. Like, I almost think it didn't need it. Like, I would have been fine with the entire town except for the sheriff being dead. Yeah. That, to me, would have been a different level of creepy. But then they're like, well, you're dead too. So it kind of, I think that kind of ruins it. You know, because if he was the only one that was alive, like him and Dobbs, then he's got that isolation factor. Like, mm-hmm. I'm alone in a crowd of people.
Yeah.
But now he's one of them.
Right.
And I don't know. I kind of think that that's a worse ending than just being alive amongst the dead.
Yeah, that would actually be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anywho, that's our three 80s horror sci-fi.
I enjoyed them.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
And I was glad to see Dead and Buried again. That one has a special place in my heart because of how much it freaked me out when I was younger. So it was good to see that again.
Yeah.
All right. Well, our next pick is mine and we will hopefully be joined by the Piscati and our next episode will come out in.
Don't hold your breath.
Yeah. Don't hold your breath, people. We don't know. I can't promise anything. But our next episode will come out in September. First episode of September. Or first week of September. So, well, what I had watching? A different, huh? I had a different idea, watching? But now after having talked earlier, I've decided we are going to watch Hellraiser 1, 2, and 3. So Hellraiser 1987 directed by Clive Barker. This is going to be on Tubi or Hoopla if you have it.
Okay.
Next up, Hellbound, Hellraiser 2. And that one is on Tubi as well. And then last, but certainly least, Hellraiser 3, Hell on Earth. And this one, unfortunately, we're going to have to rent.
Maybe my favorite of the three.
What'd you say?
It may be my favorite of the three.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Maybe.
I've never seen.
Maybe not.
I've never seen them. So, but
I have to tune in and find out.
Well, it's
these are easy watches. I could watch these standing on one ear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now yeah. I haven't seen anything after the first one, and believe it or not, I've only seen the first one once.
Oh, wow! You're in
for a treat.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in for a treat.
But the director of Hellraiser 3, Joe.
Oh, the wonders we could show you.
He also directed Prince Valiant. I don't know if you remember that one.
No.
Warlock the Armageddon.
No.
Warlock 2 Lost in Time.
Electric Boogaloo. No.
And Waxwork.
Ooh. Oh, the original?
1988.
Oh, wait, no, I'm thinking House of Wax.
1988 Waxwork. No,
I haven't seen that either.
Yeah.
That'll be my pick. Yeah. This director's other films.
Yeah, that's right. Hickok movies. Hickox. So that's it. Hellraiser 1, 2, 3. Easy peasy. And hopefully Mark will join us. And I think after 3, I remember you saying things took a steep dive downhill after part 3, right?
Are you sure you don't want to just bite the bullet and watch them all?
For next episode?
Yeah.
There's a lot of Hellraiser movies, Joe. There's
7?
There's like 9 of them.
There's 1.
I think there's 9.
Including the new one that came in 2022. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's like 10 or 11 movies here.
All right.
Let me see. Hold on.
We used to do that back in the good old days, Matt. When we first started, before we got all corporate, we would watch 6 movies a week.
I know.
Then the suits had us cut it down to 3.
Oh, boy.
No, we can just do 3.
Let's do 1, 2, 3.
Four kind of wraps it up nicely.
Maybe,
if you want
maybe
to do
when
four.
The next episode.
Oh, it does?
Maybe.
A little bit.
Maybe
like 5 and 6
four,
have nothing to do
six.
With anything.
Yeah.
Okay, then let's do 1 through 4. How about that?
Okay.
Catherine says that 4 wraps up the first storyline nicely.
It kind of at least ties in with the other 3. 5 and 6 have nothing to do with anything.
Okay. All right, 1 through 4. How about that, Joe? Well, let me look it up here. Part 4 is... Is it
Catherine,
called?
Which is the one where there's the guy who's like the interviewer? And he's like interviewing this guy in prison about like molesting his daughter or something like that. And
oh, I think that's 5 or 6.
I keep thinking that was 6.
Okay, so part 4 is Hellraiser Bloodline.
Yeah.
And
one that takes place in the past and in the present and then in the future.
So that one is also a rent. So 3 and 4 you'll have to rent. 1 and 2 are in Tubi. So
money well spent.
Yeah.
Maybe you should just buy it, man.
Yeah, maybe I'll buy the whole goddamn set. All right, well... That'll
for
be
that,
a good
get
time
the head,
next time.
The tail, the whole damn thing.
The whole damn thing. All right. So go to www.cinescarehorror.com and check out our merchandise. Buy a t-shirt. Joe designed these motherfuckers and they're really nice. And then
look out for JansCon 25
that's
shirts
right.
coming soon. Yeah.
Check out our you should do a JansCon shirt. check out our short film, The Foot of the Bed, is on YouTube right now, available to you. And on Halloween night, will be released sometime soon, maybe towards the end of October. So, all right, Joe, that's it. I guess we will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
And if I could. Where's the okay?
Catherine, say goodnight.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
We've got a death curse.
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
What is this?
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
You're safe, Mr.